in Romans. And we're in Romans 8. So if you would open your Bible and turn to Romans 8, we'll read through that and then we'll get going. I'm going to read for us. So let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together to read your word, to hear what it says. Father, I pray that as we are together this morning, you'll open our hearts, help us to hear what it is you have to say, help us to understand it, help us to meditate upon it. Let it cause change to take place in us. Let us begin to live this day even more for you. Let us be the children you have called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Paul starts out this section of Scripture by making this great statement that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The Word tells us that as a result of, there is no condemnation. And Jesus is making this statement, or Paul is making this statement about us through Jesus. And so I asked myself, why? Is condemnation taken away now? Is there no more condemnation? No, that can't be. Remember, sin still has consequences, right? In Romans 6:23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death." So that hasn't changed. So what is different? What is new that we can now say there's no condemnation? The reason is because Jesus has taken your condemnation for you. Jesus has borne our condemnation. So for those who are in Christ, there is no more condemnation. Not because it doesn't exist, but because your condemnation has been taken away. We are set free from sin and death. And Paul goes on, he says, God did for us what we couldn't do, what the law couldn't do. Remember, we talked about the fact that the law cannot free us from sin. It only points us to sin. It tells us sin exists, but it can't free us from that. It only lets us know about our sin. So God sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. And in stating this, Paul points out that Jesus is fully man. Remember, he says he sent him in the flesh, in the body of a man. And this is really important because it shows us, or Paul reminds us here, that Jesus Christ is not, as some falsely claim, just God in a body. But Jesus is a man, fully man. He was men just like we are men. He felt pain like a man. He suffered like a man. He died like a man. What he didn't do, he didn't sin like men. He didn't do what we have done. He didn't succumb to the flesh. He was perfect. And we were talking about this couple of weeks ago, I think, on Tuesday night, and we realized, and it's a distinction we need to make, Jesus didn't just live perfectly. His heart was perfect. His thought was perfect. He was perfect in every way. He wasn't like the Pharisees who were whitewashed tombs. You know, they look good on the outside, but inside, what does it say? Jesus says they're full of dead man's bones, right? He wasn't like that. Jesus was perfect in every way. And because of that, he fulfilled for us the righteous requirement. What is that righteous requirement? Well, in order to enter heaven, one must be perfect, correct? How many of us are perfect? Better not be any hand. When we look at that, we're not perfect, but Christ is perfect. And he stood in our place. He paid the price. He did what we couldn't do. And God now puts his righteousness on us and takes our sin and put it on Jesus Christ. And because of that, he fulfilled the righteous requirement for us that we couldn't fulfill on our own. And God exchanged our sin for his righteousness. And then Paul spends some time here, and I want to look at this a little deeper. Paul spends some time here addressing these two ways of life, okay? And the question is, are you going to live according to the flesh, or are you going to live according to the Spirit? And living is the result of what your desires are, what your heart is. It is not just the existence of your body, okay? You live each day based on or directed by the following of your desires in your heart. And those desires then direct your activities. And therefore, the flesh is not just your physical body. The flesh is what's in your heart that comes out of sin. The flesh are the desires that direct your actions. It's the principles that determine the actions of your body. And guess what? The Spirit is not your body either. But the Spirit, in the same way, are the principles that determine the actions of your physical body as well. So we need to think this out. If you focus all of your heart toward the flesh, the sins of the world, the things that the evil one wants you to spend your time on, if that's where your minds are set, then the things of the flesh will obviously cause you to live sinful lives, because you will focus on that all the time. On the other hand, if we focus on the spiritual things, the things of God, then we will walk or live in the Spirit. We will live according to what God calls us to if that's what we're focusing on. And Paul has pointed out that even though we have accepted Christ, we talked about this before, as our Savior, we are still battling this battle every day, right? Am I going to obey God or am I going to obey the flesh? Am I going to live according to the things of the world or am I going to live according to the things of God? And that decision is one that we make every single day. Because right now we're still facing that battle. The war is won. But every day I have to wake up and decide I'm going to obey God today. I'm going to focus on the things of the Spirit. Or I can decide I'm going to ignore God and reject Him and live according to the things of the world. They both will guide my actions, but one will lead to death and one will lead to life and to peace. And if you'll turn with me, I'll read this for you, but in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes further about this, and we've read this many times, but let me read it for us. Chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." Paul gives us the idea of what the characteristics are. What do we see in those two lifestyles? He describes what it looks like to walk in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. How you live is determined by what you set your mind and your heart on. Think about it. If you spend all week long thinking of how you're going to get even with your enemy and what you're going to do to them and how you're going to punish them for whatever it is they've done, and then you meet them on Saturday afternoon, do you think you're suddenly going to change your mind? No. You're going to try or attempt to give them everything that you've been thinking about all week, as much of it as you can give them. But think the other side. If you spent all week praying for that person and asking God to show you how you could love them and how you could provide for them and how you could be kind to them and how you could show His love to them, when you meet them on Saturday afternoon, are you going to throw that away and punch them in the nose? No. Your focus has been all week on how you can do God's will toward that person. That's going to be the direction that your physical body takes because that's where your heart is. So we need to look at this and think this through. If we set our heart on the things of the flesh, we will abide by the things of the flesh. But if we set our hearts on the things of the Spirit, then we will abide by the things of the Spirit. If we set our minds on the flesh, we will have death. But if we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, we will have life and peace. And not man's peace. Man's peace says, hey, I have peace. How come? Because nothing bad is happening to me right now. That's not God's peace. God's peace says, you know where you're going. You know you have a relationship with me. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. That doesn't go away. God gives us peace and life. And Paul goes on further and he says, if you set your minds on the things of the flesh, you are hostile to God because the flesh is hostile to God. Think about that. If you set your minds on things that are hostile to God, you will be hostile to God. You will not submit to God's law. And Paul says, you cannot please God if your mind is set on the things of the flesh. He says it's impossible for you to focus on the things of the flesh and to please God. The flesh is in opposition to God. So you can't possibly focus on the things of the flesh and be with God. If you focus on the flesh, then you are in opposition to God. And therefore, it is not possible for you to please God. These are challenging things. If I focus on the things of the flesh, I will not be in relationship with God because I can't be because I'm not thinking about the things that are important to Him. On the other hand, if I am focused on God and the things that He calls me to, and that's where my heart is, then I will be in a relationship with God, and He will lead me away from those other things. And I say amen to verse 9, because verse 9 starts out, you are, however, not in the flesh. Amen. I am not in the flesh. I'm battling with it every day. I struggle with that. I understand, but I am not in the flesh because my heart is focused on God. If you set your mind on God, then you will submit to God's law. Paul says you can't please God if your mind is on the flesh. It's not possible for you to focus and on the flesh and please God. The flesh is in opposition to God. And so if you focus on it, you're going to be opposition to God. And we remember that a couple of weeks ago when we were reading, and Paul says you can't have two masters. You either love one and despise the other, or you obey one and you reject the other. You can't have two. So I can't be here and there at the same time. It's not possible. But he says, if the Spirit dwells in you, meaning that you're submitting yourself to God, that you're obeying Him, that you're following Him, then the Spirit is in you. Right? Paul's saying that the Spirit is in you when you are submitting to God. And we go back to Acts 2:38, and it says that when we accept God, Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Because it says so in God's Word. I got to tell you, you do not need any proof of the gift. God said it, therefore it is. God doesn't lie. So if He says you get the gift of the Holy Spirit when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You got the gift. Now how it manifests itself is a different issue. But the fact is the gift is in you. You don't need any special proof. It's a promise of God. The Spirit dwells in us. Then God will raise us from the dead as He raised Christ from the dead. And again, I know it because God said so. I don't need anything to prove it to me. You don't need a special power to know you have the Spirit. The result of the Spirit is evidence in his existence in your life. Again, Galatians 5, what did it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You see that coming through in your life. The Spirit is doing that. Now, I would say if I look at my life and I don't see that, then I better look again, right? Because I better be obeying God. I better be listening to Him. But what I should see is the outpouring of His character in my life. I should see the fruit of that Spirit coming out in my life. I should see these characteristics. If I don't see them, then I need to go to God and say, how come I'm not seeing them? Maybe I'm not listening to you. Maybe I'm not doing what you called me to do. But those who belong to Christ have crucified or destroyed or killed that flesh, right? Not my physical body, but the flesh that I was obedient to. I've gotten rid of it. And now I'm in Christ, and His character now comes out of me. His character comes. Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. So if God is in my heart, if I am obedient to Him, if I'm focused on the things of Him and the Spirit is in me, what's going to come out of me is what comes from God. Because that's what's in me. The Spirit in you will change you, and you will begin to live according to the Spirit. The character of Christ will show in your life. And Paul goes further here in his thoughts, and he now says, and you are now debtors. And you say, wait, I'm in debt? What? Who am I in debt to? I'm not in debt to the flesh. Why? Because I destroyed the flesh in my life. God got rid of it. He took it away. Therefore, I can't be in debt to the flesh. So who am I in debt to? I'm in debt to God. Because God has done everything for me. It's God who saved me. It's God who bought me. It's God who now loves me and takes care of me. It is God who is in me. To Him I am indebted forever. And isn't that wonderful? To be indebted to the Creator of the universe? To know that He's always going to be there and watching over me and taking care of me? And I'll never be able to pay that debt. But that's not the purpose. He doesn't want me to pay Him back. He wants me to live with Him, to enjoy Him, and to be with Him always. So we are debtors to Him. We are His. And since He leads us by the Spirit, Paul says, we're sons and daughters of God. And the idea of being led by Him does not mean you're put on a leash and He walks you around the neighborhood, right? But rather, it's the idea that the Spirit guides us, encourages us, shows us the way to live. He gives us the Word, and the Spirit helps us to understand it, to know what He's called us to be. And in doing that, He leads us in that way to be God's people. It's important for us to follow through with this. He is the Spirit who walks with us. He guides us. And we are willingly consenting to go with the Spirit because we have killed and left behind the flesh. We have buried it. It is gone. It should be out of our life. Now, I know the battle rages every day, right? You still wake up and that temptation is there. Or you still wake up and you struggle over who you're going to serve. And your desire is to do the right thing, to do what God wants. But sin is always out there, right? We went through this a few weeks ago. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do, right? Oh, wretched man I am. I love that verse. I sometimes want to wake up in the morning and look in the window and go, oh, wretched man that I am, right? Because that's how I feel. That battle is there. But who helps me to defeat the flesh is God through the Spirit who lives in me and guides me and carries me through. And Paul reminds us of God's promise. You know, David in the Psalms stated that God says, I will be their father and they will be my sons and daughters. Isn't that great? How many of the world would like to say, I am the son or the daughter of the Most High God? I am the son or the daughter of the Creator of the universe. Isn't that an awesome thing to be able to say? To be able to know that God looks at you and says, there's my boy. Here's my little girl. It's so wonderful to see you with me today. I think we need to grasp onto that. In 2 Corinthians, Paul restates this statement of David, and he does so to remind us this wasn't a statement that David was saying just to the Israelites. Paul says, no, this is a statement that is true for any one of us who accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Any one of us who come to God are now God's children. Now, in order to be God's child, God had to do something. He had to adopt you. You weren't born to Him. Unlike Christ, who was His Son, who He sent, we were adopted by God, Paul says. And because we were adopted, this brings two really important points for us. One is that we are now considered sons and daughters of God. When you adopt, that child becomes yours. Your responsibility, your family, your part. And we now are part of God's family. We are adopted as His sons and daughters. And the fact is that now we're considered as a child of the Most High God. I love saying that. I'm a child of the Most High God. I may not deserve it. I may not be worthy of it. I certainly didn't do anything to gain it. But isn't it wonderful to be able to say that God has adopted me and I am now a child of the Most High God? How awesome that is. Now, it carries with it the responsibilities of a child. We must live and act as a child of God and do what we can to bring honor and glory to our God, right? Our Father now says, hey, you're my child. I want you to live according to the ways of my children. And I've written them down for you so you can't be misguided, right? So if you'll read about them and follow them, then you will be a child of mine who brings glory and honor to me, right? The Westminster Confession, the first confession, says that the main purpose for us is to glorify God and to enjoy His love, to live with Him. There you have it. What's your job? What's your purpose on earth? To glorify God and to enjoy Him. That's not very hard, is it? We only make it hard when we muck it up with all of our petty attitudes and our things that we want, and we put everything else in front. Sometimes we are very happy to accept the honor of being a child of God, particularly when we get the blessings of God, right? Then you're all excited. But we should be just as excited to be accepted as one of God's children, even when that designation brings us suffering, shouldn't we? Remember the apostles who went before the council and they beat them and told them, we don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. We don't want you talking about him. We don't want all this. And they beat them. And what did they do when they walked away? I would have loved to watch them. They walked away and went, woohoo! We were worthy to be beaten for Jesus Christ. You ever felt that way? Somebody mocks you for being a Christian. Somebody does something to you. Somebody hurts you specifically because you are a Christian. Do you walk away and go, woohoo! I was worthy to be threatened because I'm a Christian. I was worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. You know what would be a lot worse? Having somebody walk up to you and go, I had no idea you were a Christian. Wouldn't that be a slap in the face? That's the worst thing that somebody could say to me. Say anything else, but don't tell me I didn't show who Christ was in the way I live my life. Don't tell me that the Spirit wasn't showing through in the things I said or the things that I did or the way that I acted. Don't tell me that you couldn't tell that I was a believer of the Most High God. So it comes with responsibilities, being a child of God. It comes with responsibilities that we need to be willing to suffer for Jesus in the same enthusiastic way as we receive the blessings from God for being His child. And we need to remind ourselves that we are no longer under condemnation of the sin because we are no longer subject to the flesh. We live in the Spirit, and we now claim the benefits of being in the Spirit. We now can claim all of the promises of God, right? What's that old hymn? Standing on the promises? That's what we need to be doing. We need to go in the world, into the Word, and read all of the promises of God. And we need to remind ourselves that God's promises are true. For us, because we are His children, because He has called us to be His own. He has adopted us, and we are now His. We were talking about this the other night, and we were saying, well, what are the promises? Like, if you go to, this chapter, here's a list of all the promises, right? No, they're throughout the Word of God, there are promises. There are promises that God gives to us in everything that we read. And we can claim those promises and say, hey, these are the things that God said He would do. I can call on God and say, God, You said You would never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going through a time right now that I feel really alone. So will You remind me when I read this word that I'm never alone because You're always there with me? Will You remind me that the Spirit is in me and therefore I'm not by myself? Even though I may feel like I'm alone? We need to remind ourselves of these things, and we should allow the Spirit to fill us, to teach us, to lead us so that these things become apparent in our life. This new life should show new behavior, new attitude, new actions, new speech, new thought, because it should all be coming from the Word of God, and we should be casting out and getting rid of the old way of life, which came from our life in the world. We should show the character of the Spirit. And if that's not the case, then I need to go back to Galatians 5 and reread what the character of Christ is. What is the character of God? What are the characteristics of the Spirit of God? And I should be looking at my life and going, that's the way I should be. God, help me be that way. God, show me how to change so that I can be kind and gentle and loving, faithful, self-controlled. Boy, there are times when I need to remind myself of that. And we need to look at that every day and say, that's who I am. I am the Son of the Most High God, and I want to show Him that I know what that means. We should be focused on the things of the Spirit and allow the Spirit to change our heart and to have the desires that Jesus had. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come to do the will of my Father. That's it. He says, I don't do anything, I don't say anything, unless it is the will of my Father. Can I say that when I look in the mirror every day? Can I say that I am only here to do the will of you, God? And whatever I say and whatever I do, I will bring glory and honor to you because that's my purpose in life. Paul says we need to make that choice. And thankfully, because we are in Christ, the Spirit is in us, we have made that choice and we need to live that choice out. Every day you need to wake up and say, I am going to live for God today. I'm going to do what He calls me to do. I'm going to ask Him to walk with me and to show me and to help me to do the things He wants. And I'm going to, again today, defeat that flesh. I'm going to cast that away. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to put that behind me and I'm going to focus on being God's child. And when we do that, we will begin in earnest to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And you know, I have to be really careful. You do too. Every time you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back. So when I say you, I'm really saying me three times. If you got to do it once, I got to do it three times. Why? Because that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be like Him. And I really think that if we do that, we will see what God said about His servant David, King David, when He said, he is a man after my own heart. We want to be people after God's own heart. We want to be people who say, God, this is who you are. This is who you call me to be. I want to be that person. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for your awesome love. I thank you because you open things up to us in your word. In the last few weeks, you have really opened this scripture to me in my life. And I'm thankful for that, even though it hurts. And I pray, God, that you will help us to go out this week and to be people who will be bold and willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not just so that we get a pat on the back, but so that your name is glorified. So that people around us will truly see who God is in us. Not because we're so good, but because you are so good, God. We pray that you will walk with us each day, open the opportunities for us to share the gospel, and give us the boldness to speak to those who need to hear. And we pray this all in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all the glory and honor goes to Him. Amen.